Welcome to Amplifying Leadership, a podcast where we talk about leadership and all that goes with it. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about Amplifying Leadership and our community, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Maria Smith. Maria is the Chief Empowerment Officer of MMS Consulting and creator of the Executive Vision Imagery Program. Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast, Maria.
Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here.
Excellent. Well, we're happy to have you. So before we get started on, you know, one of my favorite topics that you love to talk about today, why don't you share with our audience a little bit about your leadership story, where you came from, where you are today?
Yes, I would say my leadership story really starts when I was a child. I was always always enjoyed bossing people around, right? I started an environmental club in my neighborhood when I was eight.
Oh, you know, cool.
Forcing people to recycle and all of the little
Excellent.
Things. I think it was just kind of innate in me. Yet I think as I got older, I realized I needed to hone some of those skills, soften some of my delivery,
and learn
that leadership is so much more about working with people than and working collectively than having someone work for you. And so I would say that my leadership journey was really shaped by just having a passion for people ever since I was a child. And then when I got into corporate and I got into that setting, I just loved the team aspect. I loved working together in a group. I loved solving problems collectively. I loved being a part of something that I felt we were all striving to achieve. And so I think developmentally, when I think about my leadership journey, I mean, I just had a ton of support throughout, you know, my like elementary, middle, high school years that kind of propelled me into college. You know, I was on Student Government Association. I as a senator at large and took on leadership roles in college that I think helped me when I was in corporate to not just have a foundation of a basic understanding of leadership, but that really allowed me to grow and develop as a person and as a leader.
Sound like a very natural leader, especially with your childhood around the whole, you know, environmental thing. My sister and I, we had a little newsletter that computers, like I'm older. So, you know, when the computers were, you know, first exciting things, and we would print a little newsletter and deliver it to, you know, three of our neighbors who knew us well. We were probably 5 or 6 years old with a lot of fun.
I love that. Yes. I it's interesting because I tell people often, I think the entrepreneurial spirit was always in me. And I think that was one thing that being in corporate for so long, I realized I was actually starting to separate myself from some of those types of, I think like natural inclinations, because sometimes in corporate, you don't have the opportunity to be as entrepreneurial minded. Yes. You know, creativity can be somewhat confined to marketing and advertising or however your corporate company is structured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me ask you this. What is the best thing that a leader taught you that you now kind of use in the leadership skills that you have?
Mm-hmm. To advocate for yourself. That was probably one of the best things. When I think back to the conversation I actually had with this person, it was me really working and doing a lot of things and hoping, I think it was kind of that, like, you know, hoping that someone would recognize or notice that I was going above and beyond, you know, wanting to take the next step. And then what ended up happening is I was actually passed over, and it really upset me, because I thought, well, I'm doing all of the right things. Mm-hmm. And so the comment that was made was, yes, you are doing all the right things, but this person acknowledged very clearly and directly that this was the direction that they wanted to go in. We didn't know that that's what you wanted. We thought you were just loving where you were at. And so that's why we didn't actually even consider you for that role, because we just made an assumption that maybe it wasn't something that you wanted because you hadn't vocalized that to us or articulated it to us in a way that made us sit up and take notice. So that would probably be the best piece of advice that I realized. And I think in relationships and now with my children, I say the same thing. You know, I'm not a mind reader. So if you need something, if you want something, if we're not doing something for you that you want us to do, you know, it has sides on both leadership and, you know, in parenting as well.
Yeah, of course.
It teaches that communication piece that is so important.
I love that. And advocating for yourself almost goes into the segue of what we're going to talk about today, which is goal setting, one of my absolute favorite topics besides communication. So, you know, I understand that it's something that you do love to talk about, and not just for ourselves as leaders, but for our employees. So tell me, why is goal setting so important to you? Why does that resonate with you?
I was introduced to goal setting in the third grade. My first real recollection of it, my third grade teacher, you know, asked us to get out a piece of paper and write down the top three things we wanted to do. I don't think she really gave us parameters. At least I don't really remember. All I know is what I wrote down. And then I transferred those three things onto a post-it note at my mom's office after school. And I hung that post-it note on my mirror until I was a senior in high school. I mean, it would fall off and I'd replace it, but it was the constant reminder that I needed. And so I became very attached to those three goals that I had put on that piece of paper. The first one was to graduate college because I'm a daughter of an immigrant and my father, you know, has had a fourth grade education, but was very gifted in horses and the horse industry. And so was able to come to the country through racing. And that's why we landed in Kentucky. And then my mom had gone to like a 2-year associate degree program for business management. And so she was in property management and really, you know, loved it. But education was something that was very much a part of my parents' direction and guidance for us. Get an education because that's your freedom. That's your ticket to really any success that you want in life. Was the belief that they instilled in us. And then the second thing was I wanted to be Miss Kentucky. I had the Miss America pageant with my mom since I was about 6 years old, 5-6 years old. So kind of my first recollection. I had met a Miss America at that point. She had come to our local like shopping mall and I had gotten to meet her and take my picture with her. And I just thought it was really cool. I was like, I want to do that. And then the third, I always, whenever I talk to school kids about this, they kind of laugh, they chuckle. I said, I wanted to be a United States Senator. And I really don't. I honestly don't know where that kind of came from at that time. Like looking back on it, honestly seeing it for so long, it just kind of became a part of who I was growing up. Like United States Senator. I did end up double majoring in college. And so I have a degree in political science and I interned in DC, but I have no plans whatsoever to become a United States Senator, nor do I want to, with what they're put through and everything. No, thank you. No, thank you. I'm not signing up for that job anytime soon, but. but I think the cool thing about it was as I progressed into middle school, high school, into college, into my corporate career, the foundation of what that one small little exercise did for me was huge because it showed me that it might take me a lifetime to accomplish something. Mm-hmm. My mind might change. You know, I no longer want to be a United States Senator. Like that's okay. Yeah. That goal changed. I accomplished 2 out of 3. Woohoo! You know, graduated college in 2004. A month later, I won Miss Kentucky and woo, like awesome. And so it kept me going on that trajectory of goal setting. And I realized, especially as my children get older too, that we're not teaching them the importance of setting those goals. And it's not so much about the goal because was I working every single day to become all of those things? Yes, in my own way, but they were so far off in the future. I had to instill certain positive habits. I had to instill certain consistent practices that helped me get there, regardless of what the goal is. Yeah. And so I think we don't put enough emphasis on it when it comes to how we prepare our students, our young people for life success. It's truly giving them a roadmap. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I just think of what an empowered world we would have if children were given the tools to not just learn the curriculum in schools, but to truly say, what is something you might want to take on? What is a task you might want to, you know, learn? Or what are you passionate about? Take the environmental club, you know, say that was a goal that I had and I was able to bring it into the school and say, I want to start this environmental club. And then I was given the tools to say, oh my goodness, this is great. You could partner with this organization. You could do this. You could do that. then you start to feed that process of, oh my goodness, if I make a contact here, if I communicate with this person, if I set certain, you know, goals, maybe I want to fundraise, et cetera. There's a myriad of things that, that come from just that one process driven thought of, I might want to start an environmental club, that we can take from that. And I think we're at a huge miss in our world, just societally, by not helping our children see that there's so much that they have control of when it comes to going towards their goals. And in a corporate setting, I think that what ends up happening is we get into corporate and we just align ourselves or attach ourselves to someone else's goal. Mm-hmm. And that's great because we're getting paid, we're getting compensated. That's wonderful. But we also need to know why we're attaching ourselves to that goal. So what is it about this company's mission, vision, values that aligns with who I am? And that's what makes me want to show up every day.
I was just going to say vision, right? Because a vision, even as you as a child or going into a company that has a vision that we believe in, can help us with, you know, those goals as employees when we're having our conversations with our leaders, or as leaders having conversations with our employees, right? Like to build where we want to grow, and having that vision and understanding the vision of in corporate, let alone when you're a child, can help us with all that goal setting. I also want to touch on something else that you mentioned, which was those small habits that, you know, the vision can seem far off. It could be 20 years away corporately or for a child. But taking those small habits and building those small steps to help us get there are so, so very important as well. And I think that that was a key piece that you mentioned that I just wanted to expand a little bit more on. So thank you for sharing that. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about those goals that might be just too big, or what a lot of people call stretch goals. And I think, you know, in corporate, it's really important that employees and leaders have a stretch goal, meaning a goal that they need to do some work to get to, but that's not impossible. So we do want that to happen. So are there, you know, in your opinion or in your background, any types of experiences or goals that maybe our leaders can set that are not over the top or too much of a stretch for employees, maybe based on vision or mission or something else that you've seen in the past?
I would say that the root of any goal, I think we have to understand is the why, and helping people understand.
Yes.
I always liken it to kind of, you know, Simon Sinek's golden circle of kind of the why.
Love
the
that.
Yes. Because I truly believe that. And I mean, that's why his talk is so powerful and empowering, because when we know the why, it makes the what and the how so much easier for us to understand as well. And it's always like we used to say in corporate or in sales too, you know, the with them, you know, like, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
If I know what's in it for me, or I know how I am an integral piece of the larger picture, it enables me and it makes me more fulfilled and empowered to actually go out and do that. And I think sometimes we make things so up here, they're so broad.
Exactly.
You know, kind of the pie in the sky. And then it's hard for the person who is maybe the individual contributor in one market or in one area of the business to say, man, how am I going to get there? Like, how are we going to get there? I don't see how I fit into this overall picture. So truly breaking it down, and just to take some science from it, you know, there was a meta-analysis done of 99 studies, and it showed that 92% of people give up on their New Year's resolutions. So just on like a basic individual level, we got 92% of people giving up on their New Year's resolutions. 62% are giving up within the first month. Mm-hmm. So when asked, why'd you give up? You know, what were some of the reasons why, you know, the goals were too broad. They were too big. They were too overwhelming. We didn't dial them down onto a level that were daily manageable tasks or those small habits that we could do consistently. And I think in corporate, we have to have, especially in corporate, we have to have stretch goals. Absolutely. And those are fun to kind of push ourselves to strive. Yeah. But I think understanding and being attached to them in a way that's like, but I know why I'm pushing. I know because if I get there, you know, it's going to help this, or it's going to achieve, you know, this goal for the company or for even for my team. You know, my team could be rewarded, you know, financially rewarded, you know, just with the recognition, because people love to be recognized. Not everyone's driver is money. And so it could just be that they're recognized and awarded and rewarded for the hard work that they're putting in. And then the other thing is, you know, 80% of employees, especially with the younger generation too, but 80% of employees want to know that the work they do brings meaning and value, and that when they're showing up every day, that they're showing up and the company feels their purpose, feels and understands that what they're doing is helping to achieve the greater goal. So I really think it's less about like the push and the stretch, and more so about building of the culture and building of the mindset and the motivation around how we're empowering employees to accomplish, you know, the goal, and really helping them align themselves with the goal. Because if I have ownership of that goal, I'm a lot more invested. But if I just think it's going to serve someone else and I'm not really ever going to feel a part of it, I'm not going to be, it's human nature. I'm not hardwired to think that way. I want to know that my work has meaning too, you know, and that I'm an asset.
I love that you brought up the why and the purpose, because something I actually, you know, train on or talk to my clients about is the why. If you don't know why you're doing something at home, at work, as a leader, or for your own employees, then why should you do it? Yes. Right? That's the question. If your employees don't know why you've made a change with XYZ, they don't know why they should be doing that. So same with goals. I think you're right. That purpose absolutely needs to be attached to it, because it needs to mean something to whoever has that goal, as well as keep them accountable to it, because now there's a purpose. I love that you mentioned that, because, and if anybody has not seen that video or read Simon's book, excellent, excellent book. You know, you have to know your why. You really do.
Yes.
So, and there's something else I want to, you know, just briefly touch on, is something that I always talk to people about too, is when you have those stretch goals, and if they don't come up or they don't happen, we don't want to hear the excuse that I didn't have enough time. And I like to share this because time doesn't change, right? We have, well, okay, I lie. This week we have an extra day. So the recording time that we're doing this is actually February. So in the winter. And so we had an extra day this week, but time is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, right? And so if we use excuse of, I didn't have enough time, you can't change time. It's about how we use our time. So those purposes and those whys can help us build the priorities, right? What do you think about that?
I agree completely. I have a dear friend who is a time management guru. And one thing that she has ingrained in me is, it's not that you don't have time. It's just that you haven't made it a priority. It's just, it's not a priority. And so, and it really, because her whole thing is stop blaming time. It's not time's fault.
You know? Exactly.
It's
not time's fault.
It's that it's not a priority for you. And so it's the same thing in deciding what to say yes to and what to say no to. You know, we have to make those choices and those decisions. And if it's not a priority, then it's a no, because then spend your time more wisely and you can work on achieving what it is that you want. But when you're allowing your time to be spread so thin that you can't ever make traction or you can't ever make progress towards your goal, well, then really you're the one who has to better manage your time, better take control. And those are things that we can control. Sometimes we can't control all the variables of life, but there are certain things that we can, and I can control who I allow on my schedule. I can control, you know, how much time I give myself for office hours or for planning time, et cetera, in order to achieve the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that kind of talks to, you know, also when we do set goals as leaders, it's usually in an annual review. You know, my company was a little bit more, let's follow up more often. And I think that that's a really important thing to do, because, you know, if we set a goal in January, just like a New Year's resolution that you mentioned, and we don't touch it again for a year, what happens? Usually nothing. So why do you think that maybe it's really important for us to follow up and also set goals throughout the year and maybe not just in January?
Oh, wow. I have so much to say on this one. So there's so much science around it too, as well. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that came to my mind was just information in general, you know, anything not followed up on within 2 weeks, 75% of that information is lost. So if we write our goals and we haven't followed up on them within 2 weeks, we've lost a majority of that information or thought process around it, which is really why we should create a detailed action plan. Mm-hmm. The visual component of that is so powerful. You know, I know you're in Canada. I'm in South Florida. Yes. It was a study done by Dr. Gail Matthews. And what she found was that less than 3% of Americans write their goals down. Globally, that number is a little bit higher. So, however, what we do know from her study too, is that just simply writing your goals down, you're 33% more likely to accomplish them. So just writing them down, but typically think about a corporate setting you've been in. I love to hear that your company was revisiting them more consistently, because most of the times we go to these big meetings, you know, in one industry I was in, we used to call them like plan of action meetings, and others, they would be, you know, sales rallies or, you know, just action planning meetings, et cetera. And we'd write all of our goals down, and then we'd close the notebook that they'd given us. And then we fly home and like business goes right back to, yeah. You know, everyone just assumes the position, the same one they were in before they left the week prior. Yeah. And we're not using that as a tool to follow up consistently on those goals. And so I liken this also to that, like an information overload. So if I'm working on a goal, I want that goal to be front and center in what I'm working to achieve. And I share this with corporate groups and with mom groups, like you name it, whoever I'm in front of, I will always share the sheer amount of information and visual stimulation that we receive on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. If you're an average social media user, you see with one account, you see 10 to 100 images a day. 3.2 billion images are uploaded online every single day. Yes. 720,000 hours of video content is uploaded every single day. So most of the participants in my workshops, we start the day off and I'm like, how many of you guys scrolled social media this morning before you showed up to work? And everyone raises their hand, you know, yeah. Like, oh man, it was me. And I'm like, guilty of it too. I'm human too. Like, you know, and so it feeds into the whole importance of, if I am trying to set a goal, I need that goal to be front and center, and I cannot be inundated with all these other images. 80 to 90% of us are visual learners, which is why the vision imagery piece of things of goal setting is so important. It's the catalyst. It's the roadmap. It's the thing that propels you forward to put it in front of you every single day. So instead of looking at those 10 to 100 images that you might be looking at, you're going to spend the first 3 to 5 minutes of your day with your vision board that the images align with the goals you're working to achieve, so that you can see them out in the world. And so I think that there's so much science around the importance of revisiting our goals daily. Less than 1% of people actively work on their goals daily, meaning they're looking at them, they're revisiting them, they're tweaking them, they're understanding mm-hmm. that just because I made this goal, it's not finite. I can change the goal, but it's what am I implementing in the process? Because as we mentioned earlier, that goal could be so long-term. The goal really to me is the destination. That's just where mm-hmm. I'm headed. Yeah. The daily habits, the planning, the preparation, all of that, those are the key integral pieces of it that I'm building that can be replicated. That's the stuff that I can kind of copy paste, repeat when I decide, oh, great, I reached that goal. I got to the end of that destination. Now I have another goal I want to accomplish. And I think in corporate, especially because you have a lot of highly driven, ambitious people, you want to keep them focused. You want to keep them focused in on exactly what it is you're wanting them to achieve. So the last piece of that science is that you're creating that information funnel, you know, by writing your goals down in the action plan, putting them in a visual representation, having an accountability partner. So a team mm-hmm. member, a manager, you're 64% more likely to accomplish your goals. And now when you've got that visual component, you're creating a frequency illusion or frequency bias towards seeing only what you want to see. And I just know, kind of back to the time conversation, we have such limited time in our day, even though we all have mm-hmm. the same amount of time. I don't want that time to be eaten up with all these other images that are on a loop in my brain, taking up headspace and taking up energy for me when I've got, you know, three big goals I'm working to achieve throughout the year.
And I think that goes back to you as a child, right? With that little sticky note. It's visual. You saw it every day. So if people are not into vision boards or things like that, just write it down on a little sticky. Put it on your computer screen. You're going to see it every single day, right? And that will help you. It becomes your little accountability sticky note. But you're right, accountability partners at work, maybe you have mentor or a coach, you know, they all help with making sure that we can achieve our goals and we can be accountable to somebody, because a lot of people need that. Otherwise, it's like you said, you go to those great big meetings, you write it all down, you close the book and see you next year, right?
Yeah, see you next year. Exactly. Or you go, or you show up to that, you know, that mid-year, that end of year review, and you're like, oh, wait, you're right. I was supposed to be working on that. Yeah, I forgot exactly. What I wrote down. So, it becomes all new to you. You're reliving the whole experience all over again, when really it should just be exactly that, a mid-year check-in. Where have we gotten at this mid-year point? Mm-hmm. How far have you come from the very beginning? But oftentimes those are really used as reminders to, hey, by the way, remember we had this big event and we did this. So I'm kind of using this as an opportunity to say, you can get it together for the rest of the year. But that's where I think as leaders, if we entrust our people to go out and do the job that we hired them to do, really leaders should be pouring so much into their people development and really helping them manage those process-driven aspects of the goals. You know, how are you coming along with that? How can I support you in that? Because that's really where you're going to see success and where I'm going to see success too as a leader.
Yeah, because let's be honest, if we set that goal, you know, hey, Maria, this is what I need you to do this year. And as leaders, we don't support or follow up, or, you know, we forget about it ourselves. How can we then judge them in the next annual review on something we didn't support them on, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
So let me ask you this. If you had a key takeaway for our leaders and our audience out there about goal setting, what would you say that is?
I would say my key takeaway, or something that I would share with leaders, would be invest in yourself, invest in your people, definitely. Yes. Invest in your people. But I do believe it starts with us individually. I think when we take, and I say this because as a parent, it's the same thing. If I want my children to start doing something, I know that if I start that behavior, then they're going to hopefully follow. But regardless, I'm setting the example. Yeah. And as leaders, I think a lot of times, we have the best of intentions, but it becomes a do as I say, not as I do, because I'm over here doing all these other things. When if we just took the time to slow down, we could model that behavior, invest in ourselves. You said it so perfectly earlier, and I say this a lot. If I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing and why I'm showing up, it's going to be really hard for me to get buy-in from other people to follow me.
Yes.
And people sense that. They sense that disconnect in their leader or in leadership if they can't find a synergy or an alignment, or if they can't identify your why. And so I think vocalizing that, being vulnerable to open, you know, and open to your people to help them understand, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm showing up. I believe in this business. I'm passionate about it. I want to help you succeed, but I got to do the work on myself while we're doing the work together. And then if you bring them into the fold and you're working alongside of them together, it's just, it's a really cool opportunity, I think, to just build engagement, employee retention, a sense of community and team cohesion. And I just think back to some of the best teams I've been on, and those are the leaders that facilitated those processes for us.
I love that. And that's a great way to end our call today. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all these insights on one of my favorite topics of goal setting. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the conversation. And thank you for allowing me to share my passion for what I love to do.
Talk about. Excellent. If our guests wanted to learn more about you, find you online, is there a way that they can do that?
They can. Yes. And speaking of kind of tracking progress and kind of creating that visual, if they want to email me, it's maria@mmsconsultingfirm.com. They can email me, just email me the word vision. I will send them like a 12 different trackers that they can utilize, track whatever goal they're working towards, reading, fitness, there's a blank one for them, but they can also find me. I'm active on LinkedIn and Instagram under Maria Maldonado Smith, but spot. That's the handle for both. And my website is mmsconsultingfirm.com, and they can find out, you know, if they're a member of a team or they're a leader and want to work with me. I'd love to talk with them about an all-day workshop. My workbook is also available on Amazon under Creating a Vision Board. And okay. That's the workbook that I use when I go into companies and when I work with private clients.
Excellent. Thank you for that information. And again, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Tara. I appreciate it.
A thank you to our audience, of course. We hope you were able to gain some valuable information or tips on goal setting today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and community are the way to grow on your leadership journey, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Lake Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leader to be.